right, welcome to the Money Lab Live Podcast, episode number 79, The Money Goes to Bachan, So There's Never Enough Money Story. You need to relax a little bit. Welcome back to another live broadcast of the Money Lab Podcast from the Six Figure Academy. I am your host, Wei Hong, from the Six Figure Academy. And this is the podcast where we give you tips, strategies, and interviews with other entrepreneurs on how to create that ultimate six-figure entrepreneurial lifestyle free of bad money stories, money anxiety, and stress so that you can monetize your dreams and execute your genius. Now, if you haven't already downloaded our free ebook, From Money Anxiety to Six Figure Mastery, make sure you go to go.thesixfigureacademy.com. That's all you type in that whole, you know, area on your browser, and you can get it there. It's the perfect complement to all the things we discuss on the show, and quite frankly, it could change your life. Now, if you're joining us live today and you're not on YouTube Live, make sure you get on Spreaker.com or download the Spreaker app on your mobile device and search for the hashtag #TheMoneyLab so that you can join us in the chat room, ask questions, and interact with us and our guests. Now, while you're there, subscribe so that you don't miss an episode and can catch us every week. For all other ways to find us, go to the sixfigureacademy.com/radio for all the details. And if there's something that you love about what you hear on this episode today that you know could help someone you care about, remember, sharing is caring. So share the show to that person. Now, today's episode is being sponsored by the Energy Mind Body Transformational Experience events, which run live, no pitch, full day events, where the goal is to have that one shift, one transformational experience to help you optimize your energy, mind, and body. And who doesn't want to do that, right? Now, go to www.embte.com for more details on the upcoming events. I believe there's one coming up in October 27th, so you don't want to miss out. Anyway, I'm really excited about our show today because we are going to dive deep into the energy of money with our guest today, who specializes in the energy around prosperity work. So a few things that you want to make sure you listen for those of you who are listeners from beginning to end, is start listening for how, when we talk about, or when our guest talks about it, the energy around your space and how it can impact your money flow, the energy within you and how that can affect your prosperous living, and then first and foremost, why energy? I mean, what does energy have to do with it all? What's energy got to do with it? So anyway, but I want to introduce, before we get into that, I want to introduce you to our guest here in the studio today. Finally able to get her. I've been asking to get her on the show because all she does is a lot of work around the prosperity work and everything like that. And so our guest today in the studio is Irene Freitas. And Irene Freitas is a feng shui strategist and a spiritual energy practitioner. You know, I guess if I'm Chinese, I should probably say it the right way. Feng shui. She's a feng shui strategist, but I guess in Japanese it's him because you're not even Chinese, right?
Right.
Okay, so I'll let you explain that later. Now, what she does is she helps people invite better opportunities and positive chi, mana, ki, energy, whatever you want to call it from wherever you're at, and brings that positive energy around them. Her expertise as a feng shui consultant, a Reiki master and a spiritual coach, and a neuro-linguistic practitioner program, master practitioner and trainer. And she also helps people quit smoking, certified by the Association of Integrative Psychology, AIP, allows her to help transform countless lives. She also co-authored with me a book called Breakthrough Healing. So you got to check out her chapter. It's really, really good. Now, she helps entrepreneurs find success and also executives as well that you've done in the past through feng shui and energy by aligning their space to support their dreams and desires and be empowered and have a more meaningful life. I mean, there's so many different things that she does. She's been in my life for a really long time. And so there's a couple things I would love to be able to share in terms of giving her a little bit of creed and testimonial. But welcome to the show, Irene. Good to finally have you on.
Thank you, Wei. I'm honored to be here.
You're honored. No, I'm honored to have you here. we're just coming off of a Labor Day weekend, so I have a little bit of that fog going on. So for those of you who've been listening and say, what's going on with Wei? Why is he sounding so weird? And that's probably why. Now, is it me or is that? I feel like I'm a little bit blurry. Are you blurry or am I blurry?
You must be blurry because I see it very clear.
Okay, so, Anyway, so... How was your Labor Day weekend?
It was quiet. I spent time with my grandson. So,
sorry, brand new grandson, Kenji. Right? How old is he?
He's 3 months now.
3 months. Super young. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it was just you and Kenji all weekend?
Yes. Well, not all weekend, just yesterday. But otherwise, it was myself and my kitty, Aria.
Your kitty, Aria. Aria, what a cool name. How did you decide on the name Aria?
Oh, I'm a Game of Thrones fan.
Oh, it's a Game of Thrones. I'm thinking it was at the hotel. You like the hotel, Aria? You know. Okay, I have yet to watch that, so I'd have no idea what the reference would be. So I think I will get into it one of these days. But but anyway, I mean, the important thing is this, is that I want to make sure that we first and foremost start off with, okay, so the title of today's episode, let's get the money story piece out of the way before we dive into, because there's so many cool things that we get to talk about today that I think many entrepreneurs, many people in our audience have to kind of pay attention to. Because if you're not paying attention to the energy behind money, and your energy around money, the energy of money, then it will literally impact how you bring money into this world, right?
Yes.
But before we get into that, let's talk about your money story, you know? And remember, the money story today was like, you know, money goes to Bachan, so there's never enough. Let's talk about what that means. First of all, for those that aren't Japanese and don't know what bacha means, okay, let's define, or let's tell the audience, what do you mean money goes to bacha? Who's bacha? What is bacha?
Bacha is grandmother in Japanese.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, shall I just go start?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, growing up, my father was one of seven children, and, you know, it was during the Depression, after the Depression and World War II and all that, so money was always tight. So once, after they left the internment camp and they started to work.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by money was always tight? Because that's relative, right?
I mean, right. They didn't have, they lost their business.
Who?
My grandfather.
Oh, what kind of business?
He had a restaurant in San Francisco.
Oh, cool.
And because of the war and that being sent to internment camp, they had to close up shop. And
because nobody would be able to run a restaurant.
Right.
Because so, you can't run a restaurant from camp.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Summer camp, maybe.
Summer camp, but not
internment camp. Yeah, no.
So they were there for several years. And after that, they went to L.A. and they had to start all over. So by then, my dad was a teenager. And, you know, they were all kind of at the in J-Town, which is Little Tokyo now.
Oh.
And they were all staying at the church there.
Uh-huh.
Many families were.
Oh.
And so, you know, they had to start working, and slowly but surely, and everything my dad made, he worked at, I guess, a restaurant as a, what is it? What do they do when they clean up? The box, I can't remember the name. Anyways, every money he owned and mm-hmm. earned, he had to give it to his mother. And that's what his older sister did too. And the rest of the family were too young to even work. So it was between my dad and his older sister. And as time went on, he continued to do that. He gave contingency in all his money, or majority of his money,
uh-huh.
to my grandmother, so they can, as my grandfather was working too, just so that, to help the family, because there ended up being seven of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so for some reason people are having a hard time hearing you. Okay. I don't know what it is. Are you speaking up or are you?
I'm right in front of the mic.
I know. I can hear you. Let's double check. Okay, so we have someone says can't hear what's being said. That's how you know this is live. And then Egen Solution says hard to hear Irene. Is it just Irene or can I be heard? Let's figure this out. Anyway, go on.
Okay. So even as an adult, my dad joined the army. And he continued to send his money to my mom. I mean, his mother. Even after he married my mother.
Uh-huh.
So it was, money was always tight because of that.
Mm.
So even though he ended up, my sister and I were born in Japan, in the army hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So once we left, you know, he was able to stop, but my grandmother was not too happy about that.
Hmm.
So as my other aunts and uncles grew up,
mm-hmm.
they started to, they were, whatever monies they earned, they were giving to my grandmother. And I remember one of my aunts was telling me just before she passed a couple years ago, she said, I really never liked that. That used to irritate me. And you know, but hearing from my father growing up, it was like, oh, we don't have the money. Money's always tight. So we can't have a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. So?
So, I had money issues.
Okay. So, okay, cool. So because here's what's going on. It says, okay, I can be heard. Got my Bluetooth or headphones so can hear Irene. And headphones so can hear... What? I'm confused. Anyway, hopefully that changed it. I changed the routing a little bit and hopefully that happens. We're actually working with a new piece of technology inside the office and inside the studio today. So there could be a little bit of hiccups here and there. But hopefully... We get a little bit better, and I don't care if we go a little bit long because of this. So, yay! I can hear her now. Okay, perfect.
Yay.
Yeah, I don't even know what happened there. Anyway, doesn't matter. We're back in action. Actually, that's the name of one of our friends' business.
That's right.
It's called Back in Action. So basically, what happened is so the money would come in and would all go to Bachan. Okay, and then what happens when it goes to Bacha? Nobody knows except that she made sure the bills were paid.
Bills were paid and whatever.
Yeah, and did the kids know or just nobody knew? I mean, it just went there and she just kind of handled it all.
You know, good question, because I don't think anybody ever asked. They were probably too scared.
Oh.
She's like a scary lady.
Yeah, somebody said much better. I think many people had to give money to their parents, i.e. grandparents. You know, it's interesting because, I mean, my dad used to do that. But, he had to make sure that the home was paid for first. But then he sent money to my grandma. But in your particular case, they gave all their money to Bachan.
Mm-hmm. I remember my dad was telling me when he was in the army and before he met my mom. If he was getting $50 a month,
mm-hmm.
he would send her $45 because he just kept the $5 for himself for essentials. And he says, hey, I'm in the army. I don't have to worry about food or anything else.
Right.
And, well, $50 went a long way, long time ago.
Mm.
I won't tell you how long ago that was.
Were you around already or were you still like an afterthought?
No comment.
Okay, so what happened was, the money would go there. So how did the feeling of there was not enough come up? Did it come from Bachan or did it come from everybody else around?
It affected, you know, I could see that it was like, it was filtering down to us. I know my dad always said we didn't have money and it affected my mother and everything we did, we had to watch what we spent. We couldn't ask for anything because, you know, money doesn't grow on trees and we can't afford it.
Wow.
That's all we heard constantly growing up. We can't afford it. We can't afford it. And, you know, it took my dad a long time to even buy a house because I think in his mentality, we could never afford it.
Mm. And did that feeling then trickle down to all the kids?
I believe so, yeah.
It was you, your sister.
And my younger brother.
And your younger brother. Mm-hmm. And so did all three of you then grow up with that kind of perception?
I believe so. That's why we all ended up starting to work very early.
Uh-huh.
You know, when we were in high school. Mm-hmm. As soon as we got our worker's permit, we worked just so that we can supplement our income.
So you couldn't work unless you had a worker's permit?
Yeah.
No matter how old you were?
Well, you had to be 15.
Oh. But even then... Well, you were already 15, right?
Well, I had to wait until I was 15.
Oh, before
16,
you could.
Okay.
I don't remember now. So then after you got your worker's permit and you were working, did you talk about like what you did with your first paycheck?
Oh, I tried to give it to my mom.
Oh, okay. And?
Yeah, and she just was so against what was going on with my dad.
Uh-huh.
She said, no, you keep your money. So I did, but she didn't tell me to save. Everything I earned, I spent.
Oh, yay, get excited. So she said, so basically it disrupted the belief, the story that money has to go to Bachan or
right.
somebody, some
uh-huh.
form of Bachan.
Uh-huh.
Some form
so
of Bachan.
My mom would be, you know, giving the money
to the money. But then if that was interrupted, mm-hmm. and because nobody knew what happened after the money went to Bachchan,
right.
then you basically had to kind of guess on what to do with it.
Right.
And the only thing you knew money was good for at the time was...
spend it on myself. Hey, buy my 45s, right? You're my tunes.
So what are 45s?
Oh, those old records. You're
making... Oh, that's so funny. But anyway, so, okay, good. So that was that's really cool. So now, fast forward to, you know, as you got older and you started having your own life, you became an adult and everything. Was that money story still running? I mean,
you know, I didn't think it was, but I think on an unconscious level it was, because I was constantly feeling I don't have enough money.
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford. That was the first thing that always came out of my mouth was, oh, I can't afford that. Oh, no, I can't spend money on that because I don't have the money. And, you know, even though I did, it was just kind of fearful of losing it or spending it. And, you know, it's just a weird feeling.
Yeah. And so what happened was, how did it impact, let's say, your jobs or your the work that you used to do? I mean, we're not going to get to where what you're doing today, but, like, you know, the jobs you've had in the past.
Well, I was... I always worked in corporate, so it was like always making sure I had the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always wanted to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, working at JOB is kind of limited. But you didn't know that until you become an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Were there any entrepreneurs in your family, like when you were growing up?
No, actually not. I was, I was the first one.
You were the first one.
That's why.
Wow. How did your family take that?
Oh, they, oh my God, my sister told me, you can't have, I had another business and a mailboxes, et cetera. And I remember when I told my sister, I said, hey, I'm going to open a mailboxes, et cetera. And she says, but you can't, you know, you don't have a college degree and you what's going on here?
She actually said, you don't have a college degree, so you can't start a business?
Right.
Wow. Has she? Well, this is a long time ago, right?
This is a long time
ago. Right now, you can kind of look at the top five wealthiest people in the world. Like the three out of five of them never finished school. Yeah. It's like what's you know.
So even her saying that, it brought in the fear of, gee, what am I going to do? How am I going to make this successful? Would I make money? So actually, the first couple years of my business, I was afraid to pay myself. Because I was afraid I wasn't going to have enough money for the business. And
Because your experience as a child was that all your money, if you paid yourself or if you used it on yourself, it would disappear.
Right. I was so scared.
So it flipped. So instead of having money coming in due to what you kind of experienced as a kid growing up, now you went the opposite direction.
Right.
Wow.
And finally my CPA says, what are you doing?
If the CPA is telling you it's like you need to pay yourself, that's a big deal, because usually it's the other way around. Usually the CPA goes, you're giving yourself too much money, you need to put money towards taxes, you need to put, right? So it's the opposite, right? Yeah. And how did that impact the rest of your life outside of work and, you know, whatever case may be? How did it impact that?
It just it just made me feel, I thought I was doing okay.
Uh-huh.
Until, as I get older and I start to hear more about the money stories and, oh my gosh, you know, it's like how I don't know how to explain this, but I felt I really cheated myself. And especially now that we're going to go into energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I realize that, you know, projecting that negative energy really stopped the money flow from coming in.
And what negative energy were you specifically projecting?
Well, you know, it's just your negative thoughts, like, mm-hmm. oh, well, once you start getting better, you start working and you're no longer getting the regular JOB money,
mm-hmm.
you know, you start to wonder, gee, am I worth it? Do I deserve this kind of money? You know, mm-hmm. so then, yeah, when you start thinking, oh, I know how good I am at what I do, but yet there's that money story, that anxiety that's way in the background saying, no, you know, money's too tight. You can't afford it. So are you really worth it? And so that hidden in that background, you know, impacts the energy coming out. So once you start getting rid of all that, and start, so I did a lot of work on myself.
When did you decide to start doing work on yourself? Like, that was an important piece in helping you kind of break through these challenges as in money and work and as an entrepreneur and everything.
Well, once I started to, working with you.
Well, I think you were doing it before you started hanging out with me. I think you already were kind of on a path. I mean, that's kind of how our paths came together. Because we're both, like, so addicted to personal development, personal growth and everything, right?
But you know what? I never thought of it as a money problem. You know, it was just something I knew about the energy. I learned about the energy, but then I didn't realize how much it was affecting me until, you know, like within the past few years. But really, as I work more and more with energy, you know, I help people in their homes with their feng shui. And
their money.
And their money. And oh my God, things are working out. So it's like, okay, it's working for them. What's going on with me?
Yeah, it's kind of like the cobbler's kids, right? The cobbler's kids never have shoes, but then, you know, he always does shoes for everybody else. Right. Yeah.
So it's just kind of realizing that, so, you know, it's like always putting other people before me. So I say, oh, I want to help them. I want to help them. But then you think, oh, I'm good. But then what are you really creating within yourself? And what are you projecting? And I think that's the important part is what you're projecting. So whatever money issues you have, oh, I don't want to spend money on that. Oh, that's too expensive. I'm not going to pay for that service because it's too expensive. And yet, you would go ahead and pay for other things and, you know,
that don't support
your personal growth or your your business. And, you know,
it's an investment and as opposed to an expense, just like just spending on random things
and just that,
like too much coffee,
right? Energy, that energy there will stop your energy flow from coming in.
Cool. So when you learn that and you start, then you've actually realized, well, I'm doing this for other people. I should probably do this for myself. Right. And then you know, you work in the realm of energy. So it wasn't a big shift because it was just a matter of realizing that money is also energy. Right.
Right.
Okay. And did you think of money being energy that way? Or was it kind of later like, oh, wait, money is energy? So let's talk about that. I mean, this is a great little kind of segue into the work that you do and how now that you've split, you moved from there, you've gone into a variety of different other businesses after that, right? I mean, I think when I first met you years ago, you were jumping to a lot of different businesses, a lot of different ideas, right? From water to vacuum cleaners to what else was
insurance.
Good? Insurance to what, you know, I mean, but that's the mark of a consummate entrepreneur though, because there's no limitation to what you can kind of go into and step into and explore. Right. And then you explore a little bit, it's like, no, this is too much, or no, this is not me, you know? And it's still, but through it all, you probably picked up a few things that you learned about yourself, about different types of businesses, what works, what doesn't work. And now you've come back to almost like a full circle type of thing, going back to helping people with their energy, their space and everything. So let's talk a little bit about what is it that you do now? You know, what is it that you help people with?
Well, as far as feng shui is concerned, I help them, I want them to help them create what they want in their life. So, you know, have that space support whatever they need, their needs.
And why is that important to have your space be energetically balanced and harmoniously set to match the client, right?
Right.
And what their intentions are and what they want.
Okay, it's really because the energy of your home, your business, wherever you are, where you spend the most time. What kind of energy was there before that? And we always forget the predecessor energy.
Okay, what is that exactly? Predecessor energy.
Predecessor energy.
So before you move into a house or before you move into
anything.
A space?
So before you move into it, who were the people who were living there? You know, and because energy is energy, people dump their energy all over the place. They're constantly dumping it. So if a person...
How does one dump their energy? Is it like going to the bathroom?
Something like that. Something like that.
You know, let's face Except it. You don't have to take off clothes or anything like that. It just goes, right?
Yes.
Is there any kind of motion that they have to go through to dump their energy?
All it takes is negative emotions.
Negative emotions?
Whether you're depressed, you're angry, you're going through bankruptcy, you're going through a divorce, all that negative
An argument?
Energy, arguments.
Right.
You know, all that. I remember I was cleansing one lady's house, and she was telling me that one part of her house felt like she was suddenly starting to cry. And we go, whoa, let's clear that energy. She was having problems renting that apartment.
Mm.
So what was there before? And then when I was in Cleveland last year, same thing.
Mm.
The energy of the house was so bad. I mean, the tenants weren't very good. She wasn't getting good tenants. She was having property management issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, the police even told her when she had to file a report because a tenant stole their water heater.
Who steals a water heater?
I know.
It's like, huh, I'm going to steal something from this house.
Yeah, a water heater.
That water heater. And it wasn't even, I bet you it wasn't even an expensive one. One of those, like, one of those instant hot type of inflow, hot, whatever it's called. It was probably a huge water heater. You know, maybe they're trying to use it for something else. But
that's
like, who steals a water heater? I steal something else.
Yeah. And so anyway, the policeman she reported to, who took her report, actually was saying, oh my God, I recognize this address. I've been called there a couple times for domestic violence. You know, so, whoa, look at that energy there.
Yeah.
So is it the tenant's fault? Maybe not, because the energy of the house. How many people live there? This was a 102-year-old home.
A 102-year-old home. So
how many energies were dumped?
Yeah. So all these people. So the old, like, you know, these tribes and these you know, American Indian tribes that have these belief systems that you don't build over – like cemeteries or tribal grounds or sacred grounds even. Mm-hmm. Is it because of that?
I think so, yes, of course. What kind of that's also has to do with respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Respecting the dead and especially the Native, not especially the Native Americans. We all do.
Mm-hmm.
We all respect the dead.
Right.
You know, we don't want, you know, people building over our graves.
Right.
You know?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if it's a nice house, I can kind of... Build over me so I can live in it, you know.
Right.
Yeah, but so okay. So going back to we have to walk a fine line because you and I can just go off the rails and just be silly stupid for a really long time. So I just want to be cognizant of time and making sure that our audience actually get some value of it instead of just listening to us laughing the whole time. So predecessor energy and how so for people who are new to the concept of energy and feng shui. And I was so excited because, you know, just I think a couple weeks ago we went to look at a new studio space that we're moving the show into along with other shows, right? And you had mentioned, you were talking, she had asked, the agent had asked you about, asked us anyway, about what we each do. And then you talked about what you did, and she's like, I totally believe in it. Do you find that more and more people are becoming more aware and actually kind of realizing how important it is to address that?
Yeah, compared to when I first started.
When was that?
That was 2007. It was mm-hmm. like only certain people, like the people in the metaphysical world, would know about feng shui. But anybody outside of that was like, right, whatever.
Yeah. You know? Even in Gran Torino, what's his name? Clint Eastwood saying, Fam Shmay. Fam Shmay. Don't you know that's Fam Shmay? Oh my God, I died so hard when I watched all that, when he mentioned that. I was like, so every time you say feng shui now, I think of that scene. For those of you who didn't see it, watch the beginning of Gran Torino with Clint Eastwood. I mean, he was being criticized for his mess that he had in his house. And then he turned over and he's this crotchety old grouchy man. And he goes, that's Fam Shmay, don't you know? So just 11 years ago when you first started getting into this work, there was a lot more explaining you had to do. There was less of the, I totally know what that is, I totally believe in it.
And even now though, some people just consider it as an interior decoration, and you know, this is where I am totally not into, I'm not good at that. Forget that, no.
But you work well with interior designers.
I work well with interior decorators, mm-hmm. and I'm really a true energy practitioner. I really work with the energy of the space.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so the energy of the space. So going in there, now, for people who are new to this, how will we describe to them how they can actually calibrate and feel what you're talking about? It's because it's mostly if you're not able to see, or if you're not able to kind of, if you're not trained
it's
in
not
this.
Tangible.
Right.
Right. Okay, so how many times have you gone to a place mm-hmm. and it felt uncomfortable?
A lot of times.
A lot of times, right? But then what's the first thing you say? Oh, it's just my imagination.
There's some public bathrooms I go into I feel really uncomfortable with.
I know.
I still remember that one time that you went to a public bathroom and you ran out and I said, did you go? No. It's too weird in there.
I know. I said, look, we gotta go home. I have to go home. Let's leave now.
No, but we were just starting to sit down and eat, and all of a sudden you said, well, what are you going to do? It's like, I'll hold it. And the energy was that bad, right?
It was bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just one place. But then how many places, you know, because we tend to just boohoo it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just a, let it go. And then you end up, if it's a certain place, and you say, oh, I should have listened to my gut. How many times have you said, I should have listened to my gut? And so this is how you can calibrate, is when you walk into a place and it feels a little uncomfortable, yeah, maybe it's not necessarily having to walk out.
Right.
But that's how you need, just need to trust.
Sorry. If you guys have been hearing that boom sound, it's because we're tapping on the table,
and I'm
realizing my my shock mounts aren't working, because you shouldn't hear those boom sounds. I'm sorry, I'm instinctually centered, so I get easily distracted. So one of the ways, I guess, you as a, you know, if you're listening to this and you want to think about it, there are certain places, I know in bigger homes, I know when I was growing up, there are certain parts of the house that I didn't want to hang out in. And there's certain parts of the house I totally had no problems hanging out with. I know in the living room, just because, you know, oftentimes the living room is so neat and clean and we don't want to mess it up. But as I got older, I kind of like hanging out in the neater side of because my parents were kind of hoarders. But anyway, so, but I think really kind of going, kind of paying attention to what feels good and what doesn't feel good. I think that's the first place to start,
yes.
Right? And then, you know, someone may ask, well, how does that affect money flow? Okay, I mean, let's talk about that. I mean, when you feel good and you don't feel good, that's kind of the most simplest thing, is like there are parts of your house that you feel good in, and there's parts of the house you don't feel good in.
Right.
And if you don't feel good and you feel good, how does that then impact your, I mean, we could talk about energy, but let's just talk about people not feeling good in certain areas, in their office or something like that. How does that impact your money flow or your prosperity or your abundance flow?
Well, you know, I go straight into feng shui. Do you have clutter there?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that space your bathroom? You know, that's a lot of money drain there.
Mm-hmm.
So that affects your money drain.
Right.
Your money stories. But
if you don't feel good, you probably, even if you have the best strategies in the world, if you don't feel good, you're probably not going to operate at your highest potential.
So if you really aren't feeling good, you really need to get the place feng shui'd.
Right.
You know, because if you feel like, oh, this area is clear from clutter,
mm-hmm.
and it's not the
mm-hmm.
bathroom,
mm-hmm.
and it still doesn't feel good, yeah, there's other energies there that you need to get rid of.
Yeah.
And it's going to affect you.
Right. And you've worked not only with other entrepreneurs, but you've also worked with some executives
mm-hmm.
that had challenges in the office.
Yes.
And without naming any names, or because some of these are pretty big names, so you want to make sure to protect the identity of those that are, you know, in high places. yeah, because that's what it looks like, you know, high places. so let's talk about one of those experiences that you've had that you were able to turn things around. Tell me a little bit about, you know, I think you know what I'm talking about, where there was backstabbing going on and everything like that. Or there was trouble,
right.
like getting promoted or something like that. So, right. So talk about that one instance where you're working with an executive, and even the executive's assistant, who was Chinese,
yes.
didn't even believe in feng shui or right. fam shui. She probably called it fam shui.
Right. Yes. This gentleman, he talked about backstep. So if the energy is not good, then yes, you're going to encounter not your only your money, your prosperity. It
mm-hmm.
affects you as a person, because the people around you are not treating you well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not getting respected.
I don't know anybody who's ever experienced that at work, not treating, getting treated well, being disrespected. It's like, that's impossible. No, I'm kidding. I think everybody has experienced that at one point in their life, right?
Right. So, you know, it's being backstabbed, people talking bad about you, and just, so how can you be productive if, and you have a team and they're constantly fighting, you know, they're arguing about the decisions that are coming about and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So once we got that cleared, we feng shui the space, the best thing I liked was the individual who was of an equal position as this guy who was really backstabbing him was eliminated from his position. So that was a great thing. And at the same time, his directs were all able to get along better to a point where, you know, they were calm. And one of the persons in that group was saying, what happened here? This place feels different. So she ended up calling me, and she still calls me because now the executive is retired now.
Oh, but he retired.
Yeah, he retired.
Okay.
So, you know.
And she's still there.
And she's still there. And every time she changes office, she constantly calls me.
Wow. Have you go in. And is she moving up the ranks too?
Oh, yes, she is.
Wow. And she was just an assistant back in the day.
Well, she was she was one of his directs.
Oh, okay, direct. Okay, got it.
But she has elevated since then.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's constantly being recognized now.
Right. So now she's a believer.
Oh, yeah. Actually, when she went in his office the very first time, she felt the shift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all this time things were always the same way, and then she goes, wow, this is the first time, you know, this office feels really good.
Yeah. You know, and I think that's really important. I mean, think about how much time you spend in your home, how much time you spend in your office, right? And you're working there every single day, and in that environment is responsible for your livelihood,
mm-hmm.
you know, how well you do in that environment. So, you know, for those of you who are still not believers and you're thinking about this, I mean, I could tell you a little bit about my story. When I first met Irene, I was working out of my home. My office was at home. It was a tiny home, but it was just kind of like, you know, I was kind of launching a whole new thing. And then what happened was, you know, I met Irene through a networking group, and then I was saying, okay, great. I grew up with this. I was like that girl. I was like, yeah, feng shui, whatever. I think it's because my mom tried to kind of push it on me so much. I was like, no, you know, and when parents push things on kids, they just rebel against it. So I said, you know what? I need to get to know, and let me experience what it's like from a different perspective. And then you came in, you feng shui'd my space, helped me set my intentions, which is such an important piece, because energy without intention goes anywhere. And we can talk a little bit more about that. And then what I did was I changed nothing to my marketing. I changed nothing to my business per se. And the next month, my income literally doubled. And when I went back to try to figure out what changed, what shifted, what happened, was it the season? Was it the, you know, there was nothing really. And we were in the same season. And the only thing that I did differently the month before was I had you come in and feng shui the space. I don't know if you remember what you shifted or changed, but I think you said there was a lot of dead energy, that it was just kind of flat, right? So it wasn't like I really didn't feel good, but I definitely felt better after, and I was having more fun. And so for those of you who aren't believers and want to kind of just continue to challenge this, then you're kind of missing the boat when everybody else, your competitors or your peers and your colleagues that are embracing this, and then they elevate their business and you're sitting there going, well, what do they do? It's like, oh, that's that fam schmay stuff, you know? And then all of a sudden, then, you know, because at the end of the day, if you feel better in your space and you feel good in your space, don't you naturally like operate better and you're more productive?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's easier,
mm-hmm.
right? It's kind of like, you know, easier to do your business when you're having fun than not.
And your creative juices come in too. So it affects everything, you know.
Mm-hmm. How important is creative juices in the world of entrepreneurship?
Very. I mean, we need to, right? If we don't, mm-hmm. then...
It's boring.
Boring.
And it's the same thing over and over again. And right. If problems come up, creativity is part of the solution, I mm-hmm. think, right?
Right.
So, wow. So you've been able to do that. Now, I mean... And then, so when you shifted and started to realize that the energy and the money should be applied also to yourself and your business. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of years ago, there was a big shift that happened, and then you took your business to a whole new level, making income that you never thought you'd make. In your business, right?
Right.
I think there was one time your first month. There was the first month that five figures rolled in, and you're just like, "This is the most I've ever made in my life." Right. Despite owning other businesses before, basically they were just, you know, replacements for your job that you had before.
Yeah.
It sounds like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
So what was the big shift that really kind of, and I'm sure a lot of entrepreneurs, not just in the energy, but just in general, struggle with how do I elevate and take my business and my work to be more than just a replacement for the job or my salary that I had before?
Well, you know, it's so many things. I can't put one little thing on it, but it's a combination of so many things.
Well, let's talk about, since you're the energy expert, let's talk about what
on an energetic level, you know, I constantly am, I have to change my energy of myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, to a more, you know, like how we always tend to say, oh, I can't do this, or you have these negative things that you always say about yourselves,
mm-hmm.
and shifting that energy is one of the most important things,
mm-hmm.
and really accepting and doing what needs to be done,
mm-hmm.
you know, so...
Yeah, so the energy shifted on your. What'd you whisper to me? Because you know the camera's watching you, right?
Well, I thought that was you.
You know, it's one of those things. Like even you being an energy expert and specialist, there are things that, and I think that's probably what keeps you in it because it's fascinating.
Yes.
There are things that happen that you're still that you are in awe at how energy shifts and moves. Even though you're the one that actually helped the energy move, you still sit there and you're in awe about what just happened.
I'm always surprised.
Yeah, and I think that's what keeps you kind of in your particular space is because you are in awe of the work that you do from day to day. Like there's no real dull moment per se when you're actually in the process of helping a client, you're moving their energy a client. Because you when you work with a client, I mean, your whole tagline is you feng shui people's space. And then you feng shui them,
mm-hmm.
right? And so tell me what that means then. I mean, because most people who do feng shui, they feng shui the space, they feng shui the office, and that's kind of where it ends.
Right.
You take it to the next level.
Right.
Okay. So what does it mean to feng shui the space and then you feng shui them?
Well, you know, I guess a good example is I have a client whose house I feng shui, come back regularly to feng shui. She always calls me every year.
Mm-hmm.
And one time she called me and she goes, oh, you have to come back because I'm going through a legal situation.
Mm.
So you need to come back. I'm having a problem and blah, blah, blah. And so I checked it and I said, well, everything still feels good, but I think it's time to feng shui you because it was her attitude. It's what her thoughts, her negative emotions and her belief system. So mm-hmm. It wasn't just changing all that, but it was also really shifting her energy. I do energy work,
mm-hmm.
and so I was clearing her energy as well as speaking to her in tongues.
No, it's kidding.
In tongues. Just to help her out.
Slytherin.
And so finally.
Sad. Anyway.
But by the time we were done, and a couple weeks later, she calls me and she did say, you know, hey, I didn't have to pay as much. I paid, instead of a six-figure amount that I was going to pay, I ended up only paying 4 figures.
So. Right. So when you feng shui somebody, after the feng shui the space, how the space was feng shui in terms of the intention, how relevant is that to how you then approach feng shuiing them? Is that a weird question?
You're asking me a complicated.
Okay, so when their space gets feng shui, that means it you basically get the space balanced because it was probably out of balance, right?
Yes.
So when it's more balanced and everything like that, then how does that then help you feng shui the individual better versus just going straight to feng shuiing the individual or helping the individual energetically?
Okay, it's just like saying that, you know, so if they're not balanced and they go into a space that is balanced, it's easier, and because the whole space is balanced, it allows them to heal faster. I call it healing because it really is. Mm-hmm. It allows them to, because they are not in balance. They are in balance. They're not in harmony with themselves. Their energy's all messed up, mm-hmm. and things like that. But if at least if they go into, they're in a space, they live in a space that is balanced, they don't go so chaotic. Their energy doesn't go crazy. It doesn't take them to the deeper end that mm-hmm. they could go to.
Right.
So in a sense, even though they're kind of off, that space is holding them, holding their space to be in a better place. Mm. Whereas if it wasn't, then, oh, they would definitely go on the deeper end. Mm. And they would, everything would go chaotic.
So what I'm hearing is, like, it's kind of like when you, if you've ever, like, sprained your ankle, and then while you're recovering, you start to limp a little bit, trying to dealing with it. And then even after you've healed, you're still limping because you're compensating. So you're still kind of out of balance.
Right.
And then in order to kind of get that back, one, you have to get your mind back to the fact that you don't need to limp anymore.
Right.
And then also fix the limp and also, you know, do all these things. So you're getting them back into alignment with a better space because they've adapted into aligning with an out of balance space.
Right.
Am I saying that right?
Right, right, right.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Okay, cool. So you do realize the camera is on, so you can do these little... So we've been talking a lot about the energy piece, okay? And a lot of people will talk about money being energy. And I know to this day, I mean, everybody, I mean, if you... You know, it depends on how you define energy. Cryptocurrency, there's no physical form, so it's all energy and everything like that. But there's still people out there that's like, well, what do you mean money is energy? Let's talk a little bit about that and why it's so important to recognize that money is energy and why that makes it easier for people to make money if you recognize the fact that money is energy. So in your world, in the way you see it, how do you see is money being energy? How would you say, why is money considered to be energy?
Well, I just see it as an exchange of energy, because in mm-hmm. life you have to have an exchange of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So a best example is, you know, when you give something for free, what are you getting in return? Energetically, mm-hmm. you're not getting anything in return, and you are draining yourself.
Have you experienced that before?
Oh, yes.
I think every entrepreneur who's passionate about what they do, especially in the healing arts and everything like that, have experienced some form of giving something away free and getting nothing in return, per se, energetically.
Right.
And then and the sad thing is, when you don't ever realize that's what's going on, it could actually put you out of business.
Right, and energetically, physically as well, you find yourself being sick all the time.
Right.
You know, it's not just...
Too much output.
Too much output. You need that energy exchange. That's mm-hmm. why, even if you just say, oh, you know, just give me a dollar for my $200 service.
Wow.
You know?
I don't know about that. Maybe $100, but $1?
But, you know, because you know, sometimes you say, oh, well, you know, I want to help this person because they're telling you they don't have money.
Right. I'm a big fan of the pay what you can.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you're working with them and they're integrous, and, you know, obviously right. you have to have a good filter system of the type of people that you work with.
Right.
And if you work with someone that is, you know, has integrity and is on board and is all about understanding that, and then you offer them pay what you can if they're having some challenges.
Right.
You know, you'd be surprised what they come back with.
Right.
You know. So
That would be a good energy exchange.
Mm-hmm. So the reason why we call money is energy, because it's just another form of exchange.
Yes.
You know, I say it all the time in my programs and everything. Like, we think about how money came to be, because mm-hmm. before money, there was no money. I mean, there was no real kind of like definition of what money was. It was, you know, whatever your niche was, whatever your craft was, whatever your skill was, you invested your time, energy, and possibly, well, before there was money, it was just time and energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Into learning something, learning a craft, so then you can offer it as a product or a service. And then what happens is, when you exchange, is a product for product service or exchange, or right. it's called bartering, right?
Right.
And what you're bartering is the energy that you put in as a human being into your product or your service in exchange for someone else's blood, sweat, and tears into developing their product. And that was the energy there. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, the challenge was that you would have to travel really far to get certain things because, you know, if you didn't have what they wanted, you need to go exchange and take your service to find someone who wanted your product or service to get something that what you do wanted, they want. Well, I think kind of like when I talk about apples and oranges and chickens, right? You go to the orange farmer and he says, I have some apples. He says, we're allergic to apples. Our entire family is allergic to apples. But we want your oranges. I'm sorry. You only have apples to give me. You know, do you want to work on my farm? He's like, no, I have my own apple farm, right? And he says, well, what do you guys eat? He says, we eat chicken. It's like, okay, great. There's a chicken farmer 2 months away. I'll be back. And so they go 2 months away to get the chicken because the chicken farmer says, we love apples. He goes, we make apple chicken sausage or something, whatever. And then they get the apple and you get the chicken and you go 2 months. Now 4 months has passed. And then you go there and then hopefully the oranges are still in season. And then you say, hey, I have chickens now. They're a little bit, they're 2 months old, but, you know, they're still clucking, right? And can we get oranges now? I says, great, we'll take some oranges. And it took the apple farmer almost 5 months, almost half a year, just to get some oranges that he wants. So I think man created money as an evolutionary process to represent that energy exchange in a more efficient way.
Sounds good.
And for those of you who are still doubting energy as a form of energy, that's why it's energy, because otherwise you'll be traveling across the world to get what you want, to get that iPhone or whatever the case may be. Because what if you go to Apple and I say, I have a PC. It says, we don't want your PC for the iPhone. We want chicken. Where's the nearest chicken farm to you? Can't find it. Good luck. So anyway, but so that's I think that's over the years, I think that's one of the better ways to describe why money is energy, right?
Yes.
Okay, so anyway, so let's talk about your process. Okay, someone that comes to you, they say, you know, like dealing with what I had to deal with, it's like, you know, I'm feeling kind of stuck in my business. It's not growing as fast. I'm getting backstabbed. I'm not able to rent my space. I'm not able to sell my house, or I'm not able, you know, whatever it is that's going on that just feels out of whack, right? What is the process? I mean, how do they engage with you and how do they get to work with you so that you can fix their problem? Describe a little bit about what they would go through if they said, Irene, I need you to help me with this. What do I do?
Okay, well, I would find out more information exactly, get more specifics. And then I would have you sometimes talking on the phone or meeting personally, we forget mm-hmm. a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So I have you fill out a form so we can get a better idea mm-hmm. exactly. And then I come to your home and I check the space. I assess it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at, I could.
And what if they're really far away? I mean, and you can't physically go there because,
then
I mean.
We could probably, we could do it virtually. We could just.
Have you,
do it
I mean,
Skype.
You've done that before, right? I mean, have
I've
you?
Done.
Yeah.
I have done that. I've done it.
Because energy doesn't care about space or time.
No, not at all.
You could just tap in, right?
Yeah. Okay. I could tap in.
Uh huh.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what have you been able to do when you tap in? So you connect with them, you get more information mm-hmm. from them, and then, what makes it different from one project to another? Is it because of the space or is it the individual and their intention?
Both.
Okay.
Because the space, you know, everybody's space is different and the people's intention is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want them to be specific because, mm-hmm. you know, it's not just generic by saying, oh, I just want peace and balance mm-hmm. and harmony in my home.
Yeah.
That is
And they
not
wave
gonna...
their hands. I'm a Miss Universe, Mr. Universe, whatever.
Right. And that's not going to work because...
It's too nebulous.
It's And if you can't find anything else, then maybe I'm not the right person for you. Because
right.
I work with problems. I want to work with what's holding you back. What's going on? You know, one lady had a problem with her children,
mm-hmm.
communication. And
right.
after I feng shuied it, all of a sudden they both came back.
Right.
You know, and you never know. And the one I did virtually,
uh-huh.
you know, It was interesting because I could feel things too. So I would ask the owners to check this space down in the basement because there feels like a interesting energy there that they need cleared.
Hmm.
And when they, because I was just looking at the map, their floor plan, I should say, and They go, oh, yeah, that's the place that I don't like.
Huh.
So we, you know, these are little things that we, and I said, well, you need to clear that up because that's in your career section. So, you know.
So there are different sections in the house responsible for different parts.
Responsible for, you know, then they go, oh, yeah, no wonder my son isn't getting a job or, you know.
Oh.
So he can't find a job. And, oh, yeah, after that, oh, cleared. Oh, guess what? He got a job.
He got a job.
He's really happy. Well, good. So am I, because, you know, he's 40 years old and he's still living at my house.
Failure to launch. Go watch that movie. Yeah.
So, you know, just things like that.
Okay.
So whatever your problem is, and you, and sometimes you have to really go deep inside, because how many times are you denying that problem? You don't want to take it on.
Right.
You know, you says, well, it's okay.
Right.
How's business? Oh, it's all right.
Yeah. You know, I like how you position that, basically saying that you want to work with people who actually have a problem. You know, it's not a novelty thing. You're done being the novelty feng shui pam shmei person, right? Yeah. The person that says, oh, let me try you out. And it's like, yeah, you don't have time to waste on that.
Yeah.
You want to work with people who have real people, not real people, but fake people. No, you have people that have real problems that need solving.
Right.
Right, and that's kind of your forte. Is you go in there and you fix what's not working, and help people take their life or their business or their relationship to the next level.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Good. So that, I think that's a really important thing. And for me, it's kind of like, you know, when someone signs up for someone who has for coaching or mentorship or programs, it's all about you can absolutely, you know, live your life and work your life without feng shui, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if it can help you get to where you want to go faster,
right?
Why wouldn't you?
Right.
And that's my whole thing, is that how do we... I'm a bit of an impatient entrepreneur, so I like to kind of get it done, you know? And so for me, it's like a no-brainer to me. But, you know, for some people who don't have that type of impetus or push to kind of like... or ambition even, mm-hmm. it's still important to recognize that, you know, there is a quality of life that you can have, that feng shui or the energy work or any of those things, having the awareness of that and having someone who is an expert at that to kind of help balance that out and create a more harmonious relationship between you energetically with your environment and your world. There's something to be said about making sure that, you know, at least to have a conversation with someone like you mm-hmm. to explore what's possible.
Right.
Okay, which is a perfect lead way into... What is it that... So if someone wants to connect with you and they want to have a conversation with you, you have a gift today that you want to offer them, yeah?
Yes. I'm offering a free telephone consultation.
That sounds really exciting. What are you doing? I'm having a free telephone conversation. No, it's a free telephone conversation. What is this conversation all about?
Well, whatever... What's your issue? What's going on with your life that you want to... You may want some clarity in feng shui, or maybe you do have a problem.
Right. Because there are times when you... I'm sure you've had phone calls where the problem wasn't so great and that one phone call was enough and just resolved right. it because energetic poof, gone, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm not sure it's a poof gone, but it's kind of like that, right? So if you don't... If, you know, if you want to experience what... So how do they connect with you?
They go check my website.
Mm-hmm.
It's feng shui for your life.
Okay, so it's www.fengshuiforyourlife. It's all spelled out?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I put that in the Spreaker comments. Okay, fengshuiforyourlife.com. And then how? And what do they do there?
And there's a tab that says connect or contact. And they could go ahead and schedule a... There's a calendar there, so you can schedule a time. So we, and, you know, make sure you fill out the little form, and I will call you.
Perfect. Okay, cool. So for those of you who want to connect with Irene, go to Feng Shui for Your Life, because you owe it to your life. fengshuiforyourlife.com. Do not spell fam shmei. It's called Feng Shui. And then when you go there, you can actually schedule a time to on your calendar to directly to talk to you at least for half an hour or
right.
more, right?
Yeah.
To see what's possible,
mm-hmm.
to kind of articulate what's going on in your life. Okay, she's done it for executives, she's done it for entrepreneurs, she's done it for me, she's done it for a variety of different people, famous and not so famous, across the board. why not you? Okay. And if you are listening to this and you're thinking about how you can make your money better, I'm telling you, I mean, when you get the energy right and everything, like, that's the first place to begin. It's not your mind, it's not your body, it's not your emotion, everything like that. The basis of all existence, man, physical, everything like that, is through the lattice structure of energy holding it all together. And if your energy is out of whack, it's going to ripple out and affect every part of your entire being. So I highly encourage you guys, for those of you who are listening and enjoy, you know, the energy coming from Irene and kind of like her style, she's very fun and very light. So it's nothing like super serious or anything like that. So you don't have to deal with all that. Sometimes we come across people that are like that and it's kind of heavy, but her energy is definitely not heavy. And if you want something big shift to change and have a lot of laughter in the process, reach out. Again, fengshuiforyourlife.com. And then you can go there and just schedule a time with Irene. If there's one thing that you can leave for people who, you know, entrepreneurs or executives or anybody out there who's really wanting, is feeling stuck or feeling like the energy isn't right in their life, what is one thing that you can tell them to do immediately after this show or after hearing this in their space, in their life, with themselves, that can help kind of like start to clear things up a little bit so that they can actually see through the fog or kind of get some clarity on what to do next?
Well, if you have clutter, make sure it's all clear.
Yeah, you've said that already. So clutter, is that a...
Clutter is a big thing.
Right?
It's probably the biggest.
Right. So, how about people who are totally comfortable being in clutter all the time?
Are they?
Oh, that's a good question. Are they? You know, and it doesn't mean, because, you know, there's people with different alchemies and everything like that, right?
Right.
There's people with really high alchemy, so they're highly refined, super neat. And there are people who are, you know, a little bit more earthy, then they're okay. Even that clutter can still impact it.
It will always impact.
Mm.
Always, always. So
okay.
Even if you are in a lower alchemy, where are you in your life?
Mm. Right.
You know, so... Maybe they are where they are because of all that clutter.
Yeah.
Because they can't see beyond the clutter. They can't go beyond that because they live in the clutter.
Right.
So they think that's all they have.
Right. So it's kind of like, you know, what happens when streams and rivers start to slow down and they find out there's an accumulation of rocks and trees and branches and leaves and everything that wasn't created by beavers or anything. It's just cluttered over time.
Mm-hmm.
And it will stop the flow
right.
of... I mean, you see it in nature all the time, and we know it's important for things to flow. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, if there's one thing that you do, if there's one thing you can take away from this, and you don't want to talk to Irene, you don't want to listen to anything else, at the very least, look at the clutter if you're feeling stuck. Look at the clutter in your life, at home.
On your desk.
On your desk, because that's kind of a reflection of what's in your mind, too.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's all related. So very cool. Appreciate that, because I think it can't be said enough that clutter is like the first place to start.
Right.
Right. So anyway, thank you so much for coming on the show, for sharing about what it is that you do, the impact that you make on people's lives, how important it is for your money flow to and your money stories and everything like that to make sure that your energy is also in check.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why it's such a big piece. A lot of people who are high power, you know, the wealthiest of wealthiest, they incorporate some type of energy work in their lifestyle, whether it be just simply breath work or meditation,
mm-hmm.
or just having someone like you come in on a regular basis to clean the space up.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So again, go to fengshuiforyourlife.com. Okay. And hold on. There's a... Anyway. Do me a favor.
Thank you,
Wade. Yeah. Do me a favor and see what the UPS guy wants. Okay. Okay, cool. So, well, Irene checks on that. So, yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Irene, for coming in to the show. And basically, here's what we got to do is that... God, I really kind of have to kind of change that and say, screw it. Just leave it at the door. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So... That's our show for the week. Again, if you found this episode to be valuable and know of someone else that could benefit from what we talked about today, and you are, you know, want to hear about, what it's like to have a rude UPS guy not stop knocking on their door and not realizing that things aren't happening, things are in session, Make sure you review us on iTunes. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube Live. We even have a Facebook group called The Money Lab. So join us there to dive even deeper into bad money story elimination strategies. Irene, if you want to come back into the studio real quick so that I can make sure that everybody gets to see you one last time. Thank you so much for dealing with that particularly rude UPS guy. I mean, he's like, okay, someone, if someone doesn't come to the door, it means they're busy. Isn't that the case?
Usually.
You don't keep knocking and say, hey, I'm here. It's like, okay, so I'm putting the UPS guy on blast. Annoying. But that's okay. That's why we're getting a new office. And we're going to actually put our studio there so nobody bothers us again. So anyway. So yeah, go ahead and make sure you review us on iTunes, like us on iTunes. Go to fengshuiforyourlife.com to connect with Irene. And then that's pretty much it. So that's a wrap. Have an amazing week applying the knowledge from today. And we'll catch you next week on the Money Lab Live podcast, where we continue with the Crazy Rich Asian Money series, part two, with comedian Edward Kim. This is Wei from the Six Figure Academy and Irene from Feng Shui from Your Life signing off. Your money makes a world go round.